Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom, everybody. This is Natalie Sosinski, and you're listening to Returning Home. A couple days ago, I was in Otniel. It's a community nearby. Some of you may know it. About 160 families. It's a big yeshuv. It's considered a big yeshuv out here in the southern Hebron Hills. And I was there because I was meeting a medic and interviewing him for a series of stories and videos I'm putting together for my organization, Hatzalah Lelo Gevulot. Some of you know it as Hatzalah Yehuda V'Shomron, and Rescuers Without Borders is the English. So I was there to meet this one medic who had agreed to speak with me. He was a quiet, young guy, 32. I think he's only, you know, four kids. Very, very humble person. And I asked him how he got into being a medic, and he explained to me that he started when he was a teenager. And I asked him what, you know, if he could describe any stories that stood out to him. And he gave me a very strange answer. He said, "I remember them all." Now, those of you who know Niel, it's known for its horrible multitude of terror attacks. It's kind of isolated. It has an Arab village right across the street. When you drive there, I mean, they're just Arabs. There are no Jews there, no Jewish villages there. It's considered a dangerous area, but people keep moving in. They're building it up. They have a school, a yeshiva high school, a hesder yeshiva, playgrounds. You know, it's a bustling, happening place. It's beautiful. Big homes up on the hills. It's really nice. And he is, you know, one of 10 medics there. There are four ambulance drivers, and they all see it all. You know, they have to save lives of their neighbors and their friends. And it just reminded me today, I've been struggling with my own little problems, personal things. And a friend of mine I was talking to said, "Natalie, you know, consider yourself lucky that these are the problems you have and that you're strong enough to handle them. Your problems could be much, much worse." And I thought that was pretty good advice. So we'll be right back after these messages. We have a great show for you.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Returning Home. This is your host, Natalie Sosinski. Joining us today, from Kansas City, Rini and Alan Guncher. That's right. That's right. That's your cue to say hello. So this is great. We spoke last week to a friend of mine, Ezra, who grew up with you in the Midwest, I think in Omaha. And he actually told me I should definitely meet you and speak with you. And I did that. I called Rini. Tell me how long you've both been here.
1 year. And 2 days, we just had our first Aliyaversary, they call it.
Mazal tov. You're not so new anymore. But, you know, it depends how you look at it, right? I think a year is something. But some people think it's like a very, very short time. But tell me how it's been and tell me how you got here. If you can just, you know, we don't have a lot of time, but I want to tell me how old you are and if you're here by yourself, if you have children with you.
We are 71 and 70 years old. We always knew we wanted to come back. We had to wait till the last parent went to Shemayim, which happened couple of years ago. We met here 50 years ago on junior year abroad. Wow. It was right after the Six-Day War, and they just opened up Hebrew University junior year abroad program. So we met, we fell in love, we've lived all over the United States. We would come back every year, and we knew that ultimately we wanted to make Aliyah. We have three sons, one of whom made Aliyah 10 years ago, and we would visit him every year as his family grew larger and larger, and we decided we wanted to come back. Since that happened, 3 months ago exactly, our middle son made Aliyah. They decided they couldn't wait any longer. They needed to be with us. Plus, the corona situation made America unbearable.
Well, we have another son and his wife and children in Baltimore that have informed us that they're in the process of looking at coming to Eretz Israel. So, God willing, we'll have everyone here.
That's great.
In the next year.
Okay, so this was a plan. This is not something that just happened. You were involved coming to Israel every year. This is no surprise to your children, I'm sure, right? Or your friends.
Yeah. You raise them as Zionists and they listen to you.
Good,
you know?
good. Mm-hmm. And they got here first, it looks like.
One son.
Right.
One son. We are a family that sends our children to Israel as the gap year, and it started when our oldest, who's now 40-something, two or three, he's 43, and between college and graduated from high school and college, he came to Israel for a year. He stayed 2 years. The next kid stayed 3 years, and the last kid stayed, came back to get a master's degree, which they all have, and then moved to Israel right after that.
Okay, I'd like to hear that because too many of these kids don't come back. They don't stay and they don't come back.
Right. Every year that somebody was at a gap year at a yeshiva here, we would come back.
Good.
So it's been, you know, 50 years of coming back. Now we're here.
Good.
Home.
Good. I'm glad you are. Tell me how it's been. What has this year been like? How did you find a place to live? What have the challenges been?
It's been amazing. You know, people say it's going to be difficult. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. It was seamless for us. You have to come with the right attitude, which we have, and you have to come appreciating why you're here, and everything is a chavaya, is a experience. So you get in a traffic jam and people cut in front of you, that's part of Israel. You have to wait in line, and that's part. And you go and you pick cherries, and that's part. I mean, it's everything is has to be appreciated as it's an opportunity. We came to Yerushalayim. We hung out for 2 weeks partying, and then our whatchamacallit came. Our lift came. We found the place in Efrat. We looked all around. Efrat was a great place for us. It was about 15, 20 minutes from our one son. It's only about 18 minutes from our other son. It's a great place. It's 20 minutes to Yerushalayim. Everything has been for us really seamless. Navigating things is navigating things. Often we'll say, well, what would it have been like in America? And there are many things that are very similar.
So we need to hear that. So our listeners need to hear that, because I want more people your age to come. And people want to, you know, their kids are out of the house. There's no reason for them to stay there anymore. They're fearful.
Correct. I have one little correction. We did not party for 2 weeks. You make us sound like stoners. We lived in a bed and breakfast in the German colony for 2 weeks and really studied hard. We really went everywhere with realtors. We knew we liked Efrat. Alan, by the way, at 70 years old, goes to yeshiva every single morning. Of course, he's the oldest one. He goes to Yerushalayim, leaves at 6 in the morning to avoid the traffic jams. And I took Opan for 6 months. And we volunteer to fill our times and take care of grandchildren.
You know, we often sit back and say, we can be sitting in Omaha, Nebraska or Kansas City and saying, well, let's go drive to Council Bluffs or to Wichita. We can sit here and say, let's drive to Kevaracha. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the Parsha this week. Or we can say, let's drive to Yerushalayim. You get up every morning and every day is I mean, it might sound corny. You're in Israel. It's a bracha. You know, it's a different smell. It's a different feel.
Right.
And today we're coming back from the I'm coming back from my kids. I had the Daven Mincha. I just stopped in the middle of the road, pulled aside. It's not like in America where you'd pull on the side and people would honk or look at you or yell something at you. I'm a Jew just like everyone else here. And people our age, I would just hope they would appreciate. If you're not going to come, move. So come here for a couple months. Spend a couple months just loving your people, loving the land, and being here. You know, and then go back to wherever you live and live your regular everyday life in America. But I'll tell you, there's nothing like living in Eretz Yisrael.
All right. Now you make it sound, okay, you make it sound very easy. And I appreciate the positivity. I do. But, you know, let's be real. Okay. Let's be real and let some people hear some honesty. Come on.
What the honesty is that we have children in Baltimore that we miss terribly. And we don't see them, one, because of the COVID, but we can't see them as often as we did. So the honesty is that, yes, you will have children and family that you will be away from. The other part is, let's also be honest, I would assume most people in our age bracket have Social Security, have some sort of nest egg. You know, they say, oh, it's so expensive to live in Israel. It's not so expensive to live in Israel. You know, you manage your money. You know, you get to a certain age. What do you do every day? What do you look forward to every day? If you're going to volunteer in America, volunteer here. If you're going to go learn in America, learn here. If you're going to go out and play Mahjong with your friends, do it here. I have to be honest with you. I mean, it's you can do it all here. So yeah. Why not?
There are enough English speakers here now. You're not by yourself.
We really are not. We have to say that the Moetza and the Iriah in Efrat has been incredibly helpful. There are people willing to help us. There are people that explain things to us. There are still things I don't get. I don't know if you heard that part. I took Olpan for 6 months.
Yeah.
And the other part, if you come to Israel with a couple of shekels in your pocket, you each have a cell phone, you have a car, and Baruch Hashem, there's ways. In the olden days, you had to read a Hebrew map. Now it's a little easier. There all sorts of helpful centers. You are not alone. We are not alone. We live on a beautiful street in Efrat with a lot of other old timers, a lot of Anglos that have been incredibly helpful and welcoming.
It sounds sort of Pollyannish in that. Well, I want to give the side that you don't hear. You hear all the things that, oh, Israel this, Israel that. I want to say...
Well, not on this show. I got to say, people don't really complain on this show. And that's something I do need to ask you, you know, what has been hard? You know, they say that the older people are set in their ways. You two don't sound like older people that are set in their ways.
Listen, we are set in our ways, but, you know, sometimes we'll get upset about the medical. You know, it's bureaucratic. I still remember sitting in America waiting for 3 months to getting in to see a specialist. I mean, come on, let's be honest. There are things in America, you get on the phone and you don't get English speaking people.
Right.
So, you know, here it's Hebrew, maybe there it's another language.
Right.
But
right.
You know, you just have to keep asking people. I know that number 4 is a good roast and number 8 is tough, but you throw it in the crock pot and it's like butter. It melts in your mouth. You just need to ask questions and not be afraid.
That's right.
Don't be afraid.
Nahon. So filling your time. I think that's very interesting what you said. You volunteer a lot. Tell me what you do. Tell me the volunteering you do.
Okay. I volunteer at Yad Sarah's food packing. It's the food gemach. On Thursday afternoon, we fill up boxes for the needy of Efrat, at least 50 boxes.
Right.
And then every other week, I go to Beit Peirot and I pick out the fruits and vegetables. I load up my car. I come to get my husband. He drives it over to the gemach and carries it all in. But Monday afternoons, this is our favorite. We make coffee from an urn. We dole out hot soup and we cut squares of cake at Pinachama, which is on the way down to where you live.
Yeah, the soldiers.
And the soldiers,
amazing.
They're so grateful. You know, sometimes they want to chat. Sometimes they don't. When they hear from our Hebrew that we're American, they want to, good morning. You know, and they're so appreciative. Alan tells them, take cake, put it in your pockets.
They must love you. You're like a mom and dad from TV.
That's what they said. Yeah, Doda and Dod.
Right.
We love doing that.
One of the things here that is so powerful is the respect for older people and for parents. We have friends in the neighborhood who go visit their parents, who get their parents to come to them and live with them or stay with them.
You know, people are led to think that you can only make change in your life when you're in your 20s and 30s. But that's not true. Look at Rini and Alan. You can pick up when you're older and have an adventure. You can do it.
It is. It is an adventure.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things. But at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Welcome back to Returning Home. With us today is an old friend of mine. Actually, she's an old friend of my mother's, Helen Pearson Friedman. Tell our listeners how we connected.
I grew up in Wilmington, Delaware, and went to school from first grade all through high school with Natalie's mother. Mm-hmm. And when Natalie started working for an organization in Israel, she learned that I was very involved in the Israel community in Arizona, and I had Natalie come to speak about Israel, which motivated me even further that I needed to make Aliyah.
So that was like 5 years ago, something like that. But, you know, you started coming to Israel, you know, before you met me. It had nothing to do with me.
Oh, absolutely. In 1983, I was in Arizona coordinating a mission to Israel for my synagogue, and I connected with TWA, who invited me on a mission for travel agents to learn about Israel. And I came here for a 10-day tour and fell in love with the country. I always was very much a Zionist. And on the familiarization trip, I met lots of people and decided one day, as soon as I could, I was moving here. I am 76 years old. But I've never acted my age. I am divorced. I moved to Israel 4 years ago. But as I said, I've been coming here since 1982. And I was coming as often as I could. My daughter actually moved here in the 1990s. She was the spokesperson for the Shalem Center and was very involved with lots of political things going on, and I visited her as often as I could. I also participated in what's called Sorel, which is the Volunteers for Israel, and eventually I became the regional manager recruiting to come to Israel, live on IDF bases, wear IDF fatigues, and do manual labor to free up the soldiers. And wow. I did that for 5 or 6 years. I did it myself, loved every minute, and I'm still very involved with that organization.
You know, you're very busy. You're a very busy woman. You were very busy before when you lived in Arizona. You were a Jewish community leader, not religious, let me point out. You're not religious, you never were, but a Zionist.
No.
You know, you don't have to be a religious Jew to move to Israel.
Absolutely not.
There's room here
absolutely
for everybody,
not.
All kinds of Jews. And
yes,
and we all get along. It's one of the beautiful things about living here.
Not only do we get along with religious and non-religious Jews, but two of my close friends are Arabs. Arabs that live in Israel have a very good life.
Sure.
They're very fortunate.
I mean, we all do.
And
we all do.
Yes, absolutely. So we have no fears. We get along. I love to share the problems in America with the politics here in Israel. The funniest are the protests that go on about our prime minister. It's singing and dancing and chanting, and they're having lots of fun. I live just a few blocks from the prime minister's office, and I hear and watch the people marching and chanting. It's more fun than protesting. And that's something that's very different from other countries.
Yeah, sure. Very.
I will say that getting used to living here is pretty simple. I am a single divorced person with absolutely no family, I thought. I volunteered the first year I was here for the Maccabi Games, which are the Jewish Olympics. I was at a meeting for the Maccabi volunteers, and sitting next to me ended up being a Hungarian cousin of mine that I never knew. She's now one of my closest friends. In Israel, you never know who you're going to find.
Right.
Imagine a Hungarian cousin. I joined the Association for Americans and Canadians in Israel. It's called AACI. Initially, I was doing tours throughout Jerusalem for the 55 plus group. We would have anywhere from 20 to 30 people on the tours, and we went all over Jerusalem visiting all different places. I did the tour sometimes. We had regular tour guides. I actually had the opportunity to volunteer at a visitor center, which is right in the center of the old city. And we have visitors from all over the world. I speak no Hebrew. I am living in Jerusalem and go throughout Israel without any Hebrew, and I get along fine.
You hear that, people? That's good to hear. That's great to hear. And, you know, there are other people just like you, Helen.
Yes, most of my friends speak English and have very little Hebrew. And I also have no family here. But I believe I have made family, in addition to my Hungarian cousin, who, whether we're actually related or not, as she debates, but you make family here. I have the people that I work with at the visitor center. Most of them are young students, and they are my family. I have two people that I share an apartment with. We have a hallway. Each of them have a studio, and I have a teeny tiny one bedroom apartment that I absolutely love. But one is an Ethiopian young lady, and the other is from France. And we are a family. We watch out for each other. We take care of each other.
That's very
special.
People
make
really.
Family.
You had a very full life, and you were quite accomplished. You were, I think, not just a travel agent, but you were some kind of public relations big shot.
I was very involved in the hospitality industry in Arizona. I worked in different various resorts and also with the Phoenix Convention Bureau. And I became the spokesperson for ZOA and the Zionist movement. I was very involved also with the lady who also was Helen Friedman, who unfortunately has passed away, American Friends for Safe Israel. And I was very involved with promoting and recruiting for Sorel, who I think I already mentioned.
Right. So you were already, let me just say, you know, you were already not just accomplished, but you had this, you had a head start. So you were familiar
yes.
with things. You had probably a bit of a network here. You knew the country more or less. So
yes. I did. Remember also that my daughter was here and I met lots of people through her. But quite honestly, the one person that I became closest to, I'm sitting in a restaurant by myself. This was 10 or 12 years ago. I'm at a lunch and I see a woman sitting across from me. She's there with somebody else and she looked like someone that I knew. I walked over to her. It was not that person, but she and I sat down and we talked for a couple hours and she's become one of my closest friends. Just somebody sitting in a restaurant. Now in the States, if you walked up to somebody in a restaurant, they'd think you were nuts. Right. Here, people are always just meeting people on a street corner. Right. I had someone come up to me just a few days ago on King George Street. And he asked where I was from, and I didn't want to answer him. He said, "Well, I'm from Phoenix." And it turned out that he had known me in Phoenix because I used to speak a lot. You never know who you're going to meet here.
Yeah,
who you're
here
going
it's
to
not.
Bump
yeah,
into.
Here it's not dangerous. Is what you mean is
when you walk around in Jerusalem. All you see are little kids running around on their own. The parents may be a block away or whatever, but no, there's right. a freedom. There's an absolute freedom yeah. for both young and old.
Yeah.
I see older people are always being taken care of.
Yeah, there's a freedom and a safety here that it's mm-hmm. a small town feeling. And you know, being alone here, you especially feel it.
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely.
And that's very special. And that should alleviate the fears and the nervousness yes. that so many people have.
Yes. For one of the organizations I'm very involved with is Honest Reporting. Honest Reporting follows newspapers, reporters, and try to give them the true facts about Israel. We have more reporters in this tiny state of Israel, which is the size of New Jersey, than in the entire Middle East. And what do reporters look for? They look for the ugly stories. They look for bad things because that's what will go on the front page of a paper. They make up stories. Honest Reporting has missions, and now during Corona, they have webinars to keep people educated and knowing what's happening.
So, you know, you're really busy. I mean, even though you're here alone, you don't sound like lonely at all.
I just coordinated 18 different people making food for the Lone Soldier Shabbat for both Friday night and Saturday meals.
They must appreciate it. That's yeah. very special. A little piece of home is what you're giving them.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, that's wonderful. Yes, you're exactly. busy. You're an inspiration to me and to many people because you're brave, you have energy, and you're a giver.
Everyone that I know that has moved here is always looking for things to volunteer on. It's part of our Yiddishkeit.
Stick around. We'll be right back after these messages with part two of Helen's story. Write in your comments and visit our chat at www.israelnewstalkradio.com or email me, Natalie@israelnewstalkradio.com.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Local Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American Time, 7 a.m. Israeli Time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We're continuing with Helen Friedman, my old friend and my mother's childhood friend from Wilmington, Delaware. And those of you who missed the first segment, Helen is from Arizona. She is 75, 76 years old, on her own here in Israel. Not religious, living in a studio apartment in the middle of Jerusalem and busy as ever. I got to say something here. I just got a note. I'm on multiple Aliyah groups, and I just got a note saying, Shalom, what is best advice for a person in their 80s that is making Aliyah, but knows very little about the country and financial systems? For example, their financial assets, estate, and power of attorney. Now, did you, address any of those items before you moved here, Helen?
Absolutely. And that's very important for any person considering a move to any country. I kept my money in the States and allowed my son to handle my little funds that I have remaining. It's best to have a checking account in the States, and I use my American credit card most of the time. However, I do have a bank account here in Israel, and I have checks, and that's where my rent money comes out of.
All right. Did you have help setting that up? Did someone take you by the hand to a bank and open an account? How did that happen?
Actually, I pretty much did it on my own. My friend that I met, she was very helpful, especially in setting up plan for my medical care, Maccabi. But for the most part, I just walked into a bank and set up a bank account.
All right. So I were just talking off the air, and you said something to me, two things. One, you said that you are, you were a cheerleader, you're very outgoing, you were in the tourism industry, and you're not shy. So you've succeeded here. There are people totally opposite from you. They're quiet, they're reserved, they're proud.
Yes, but I'm going to interrupt you because most of my friends just get by enjoying the lectures that different organizations have. And you don't have to be outgoing to succeed here.
That's one thing. The other thing is we started talking about when the last time I was in America, and you have had to go there recently for a shiva, right?
Correct. In June, my brother-in-law in Philadelphia unfortunately passed away. May he rest in peace. I had to go to and stayed with my sister in Center City, Philadelphia. And I was shocked by what I found in America. In Philadelphia, it was right after all the big riots, not just protests, but riots. When my sister was trying to get to the hospital, she was constantly being stopped because streets were closed and she couldn't get through. She couldn't get back to her apartment. I was afraid. I bought a stun gun and I bought mace. I'm afraid walking around the streets of Philadelphia. If I had to go to a store or to the bank or wherever, I was afraid. Here, I walk everywhere. I have no fear walking in any neighborhood, no matter where I am. I'm never afraid. But I have in the States. Because of what's happening there, because of the unrest and the anger of the people, I just don't feel safe.
Right. And even during the day, did you see and feel like a scary city? I mean, I used to work in Center City, Philadelphia, and it's beautiful and it's pretty safe. I never had a problem as a single woman. And that was
years ago. Today, since I'm living here, I usually go into Philadelphia, into Chicago, into LA, visiting family. I always have my stun gun with me and my mace because I don't feel safe walking around in the major cities. Walking on Chestnut Street and on Walnut Street in Philadelphia, I would have to walk very fast, and keep my head up, so that people who would be walking past me and intentionally bumping into me, I would have to bump back at them.
Okay, that's horrible.
And that's what was going on.
Hearing that is so, to imagine that. I can't believe what's going on. And I can't believe this is
It's painful. It is very painful, and for my family I have a son in LA and a daughter in Chicago, and my sister and nephews and their families in Philadelphia. It's a scary place, because you never know who's going to break into your house, or who's going to go marching down into your neighborhoods and break in. All of the stores were boarded up in June and July in Philadelphia. I don't know if they still are, but I wouldn't be surprised. All of the stores had been robbed.
So, you saw it. You saw it with your own eyes. And I saw all the news. We all did. We all saw this.
I experienced hearing the shouting and the screaming as the protesters, supposedly protesters, were yelling and screaming as they marched down Chestnut Street, breaking into the windows of all of these stores and destroying what the shopkeepers had built up.
What do you say to all the Jews that are still there? Not making plans to move to Israel. What do you say to these people?
Unfortunately, my feeling is that American Jews have no understanding, or they don't have the real facts about what's going on in Israel, how safe we are, how strong we are, what a great economy we had, how we are moving along and having great lives here. Unfortunately, it's the media that puts forth, that I mentioned this before, negative things about Israel. But if people were actually looking out their own windows and experiencing what's going on in America, American Jews especially, are being threatened constantly. Cemeteries are getting swastikas put on all of the stones. America is not going to be a safe place for Jews. And if they're pretending that is untrue, all they have to do is read the media, the true media.
So people read whatever's easy, and they turn on NBC or a major network, and they see what they want to see, and they hear what they want to hear, and everything is a spin today.
Yes.
They cannot depend on the media. They have to depend on us. They have to depend on people who are with their feet on the ground, who are telling the truth, and who have no agenda. I want my Jewish
sisters
to be healthy and safe wherever they are. For instance, in Australia, there's a beautiful Jewish community in Thornhill, Ontario, Canada, Toronto, I think. There are big, thriving Jewish communities all over the world. And they're important.
Exactly.
That they remain there. But, people, open your eyes.
The diaspora Jews have to know how to defend themselves and how to stay safe and how to be positive and not allow these hate-filled groups to intimidate them.
Right. But,
that's very important.
We're here. We're safe. We're in Israel. And it's easy to say that. I don't understand why Aliyah is taking so long. And it's not because it's bureaucratic. I just don't understand why more people aren't taking the Israel option.
Mostly because they think of Israel as being, and forgive my quotation here, too Jewish. They believe that it's only run by the ultra-Orthodox, and only religious Jews can come and enjoy a life in Israel.
No, that's,
they're not
just
aware.
Okay.
One, especially not knowing Hebrew, as I can prove, and most of my friends that I have here can prove, having Hebrew makes no difference, and It's a phenomenal place to live. But unfortunately, the media does not paint it this way. And people that sit and listen to NPR or read the New York Times or watch NBC or especially CNN, or they're learning the hatred that the reporters are looking to report. There are some bad things that happen, but they're bad things that happen all over the world.
All right. Well, I hope the people who listen to the real news and their real friends and their real contacts here make the move, because
absolutely,
there's plenty of space and there's no time like the present.
Exactly. The building that is going on all over Israel is phenomenal. People care for one another. They take care of one another. Yeah. And that's a big difference.
Yes.
But the American Jews don't want to hear it because they want to be accepted.
Well, we had to let Helen go. It was great listening to her point of view. And those of you who have questions for Helen or for me, please do write on the chat room at www.israelnewstalkradio.com. And you can email me as well, Natalie@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we will see you all next week. Same time, same place. Bye-bye.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.